Welcome to the podcast of Hope Community Church. Hope exists to be a church where people can experience the transformative power of the gospel in the context of grace-centered community. We strive to be real people looking to the real Jesus for real change that can have redemptive impact among individuals, local communities, our city, and the world. For more information, visit hopecommunity.com.
Well, the passage we're going to look at today as we turn our attention to God's Word is printed in your bulletin, and if you've got a physical Bible, you can turn there as well. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 25, looking at verses 31 through 46, and we're going to have it up here on the screen as well. I'm going to read it for us and then pray and ask God to guide us as we look at this Word today. So here now, God's word to you and me this morning from Matthew 25, starting verse 31. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him he will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, this is a weighty passage. This is a sobering word to come in here and receive this morning. As much as you talk about eternal things, we confess it's not that easy for us to think about them. And so we ask for your grace, for your mercy, for your kindness this morning. We plead for your Spirit to help us so that we may be able to be present and hear what you want to say to each one of us from this story this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Today we come to the last teaching of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, and this is not the end of the story in the Gospel of Matthew. There are still three chapters that follow, chapter 27 and 28, that tell the story of Jesus's arrest and his trial, his crucifixion, and his resurrection, and we'll get to those in the coming weeks. But this is the end of Jesus's teaching in Matthew. His teaching that began with a bang back in Matthew chapter 5 with the Beatitudes, it ends here with Jesus' teaching on the final judgment from Matthew 25. And endings are significant, especially from a writer's perspective. There was a man named William Zinsser who was a writer, author, a writer, editor, and teacher, and he began his career as a writer for the New York Herald Tribune, and over the course of many years, he wrote many books, published many articles and essays. He also taught writing for many years at Yale in the 1970s and then later at the Columbia University School of Journalism. But in his book on the craft of writing nonfiction, a book called On Writing Well, here's what William Zinsser says about endings. He says, the perfect ending should take your readers slightly by surprise and yet seem exactly right. They didn't expect the article to end so soon or so abruptly or to say what it said. It's like the curtain in a theatrical comedy. We're in the middle of a scene, we think, when suddenly one of the actors says something funny or outrageous or epigrammatic and the lights go out. We're startled to find the scene over and then delighted by the aptness of how it ended. What delights us is the playwright's perfect control. When we read the Bible, it's easy for us to forget that the authors of the scriptures were writers. In our doctrine of the inspiration of scripture, we believe the people who wrote the Bible were not normal writers. They were writers who were inspired and led by the Holy Spirit of God, but they were writers nonetheless. Meaning, this passage on the Last Judgment being the ending of Jesus' teaching ministry in the Gospel of Matthew, the gospel known as the teaching gospel, is important. Of course, everything Jesus teaches is important. Matthew wants you and I to receive and be changed by all of Jesus' teaching in his gospel. But this being at the end of it is a way of him saying to you and me, I really want you to get a hold of this. Scholar and commentator Dale Bruner says it this way. He says, this depiction of the Last Judgment is especially important because it is the final story in Jesus's public teaching. This is the teaching Matthew wants imprinted on readers' consciences as Jesus's final teaching. And now, it may not delight us. It's nothing like a theatrical comedy, but it does take us by surprise. And because our author is in complete control, we know it is exactly right. And as we approach this passage here, we might put it this way. What Matthew gives us here from Jesus are last words about last things that he wants to last with us. So this morning, let's explore this passage and see what it is exactly Matthew wants to last with us. Let's dig in together and find what it is he wants to be imprinted on our consciences as we leave the teaching ministry of Jesus. And as we dig in, we're going to see there are four things that he wants to last with us. And the first one is this: the reality of judgment. The reality of judgment. Matthew wants you and I to see and to know there is a judgment. Verse 31, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. And this is interesting, coming off our sermon last week where we saw Jesus come into Jerusalem during the Passover for the last week of his life, because as we saw there, yes, Jesus came as the king. He came as the one who is strong and authoritative, the one in complete command. However, we saw that he also came on a donkey. He came as the kind, humble, gentle, and approachable king. Well, this is a stark contrast, because Jesus says, the next time I come, it's going to be different. And not that anything in Jesus' character changes. Jesus is always exactly who he is, but that's not the kind of thing that's going to be emphasized next time, his humility and his gentleness and his kindness. Next time, when I come again, he says, it's not going to be on a donkey, but it's in my glory. It's with all the angels. It's with me sitting on my glorious throne. And did you notice that Jesus calls himself here the Son of Man? And that's a term that's loaded with meaning for the people of God. Hearkening back to Daniel chapter 7, when Daniel says this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Like Jesus self-consciously fulfilled the prophecy from Zechariah 9 as he rode into Jerusalem and we looked at last week, now he's doing it again. He's saying, I am that one, like a son of man. I am the one with all dominion and glory and a kingdom that all nations will serve. And he says, when I do come again as the son of man, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to judge. I'm going to sit on my throne and judge the sheep from the goats. I'm going to separate all peoples into two categories, sheep and goats. As shepherds in the ancient world used to separate their sheep from goats at the end of each day, Jesus says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to separate everybody from all nations into those two categories. You're either a sheep or you're a goat. And does it matter which one you are, whether you are a sheep or a goat? Well, Jesus says in verse 46, and these, talking about the goats, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous, the sheep, into eternal life. And now, before we go any further into the story, we need to pause and take that in. This is what's going to happen. This is what's coming. Jesus is going to come back, and when he does, he's going to judge everyone who's ever lived, including you and me, and he's going to separate us into one of two categories, either a sheep or a goat, with the eternal consequences that follow, eternal life or eternal punishment. Matthew wants that to be imprinted on your mind today. He wants that reality to last with you. And this is needed for so many of us because so many of us rarely, if ever, think about the reality of judgment. And I think for a lot of us, we approach the teaching of the coming judgment of Jesus the way I approach a nagging injury in my knee or what an auto mechanic might tell me about the state of the brake pads on my car. We're like, I'm sure it will be fine. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a physical therapist. I know almost nothing about cars, but I'm sure it will all go away and just get better somehow because that's how things work, right? I can worry about it later, but really I just don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about ultimate consequences of what might be, but I need to because if I don't, it doesn't change the fact that the consequences are coming. It doesn't change that at all. It just means I'm not going to be prepared for the consequences when they do come. So now my knee is really messed up. Or now my brakes are totally fried and I get into a car accident or I have to pay so much more money than I would have had to pay if I just listened and paid attention to it the first time. Part of what the story of the last judgment is meant to do here is to say, stop ignoring the ultimate. Stop ignoring the ultimate reality and the ultimate consequences of your life. There is a judgment coming. So how you live your life today matters for eternity. How you live your life right now in this brief little time you have on earth, it matters for all of eternity. You and the way you live your life is not trivial. It's no small thing. Ultimate destiny is at stake, and you're either a sheep or you're a goat. And Jesus will decide. But how will he make that decision? And this brings us to the second thing Matthew wants to stick with you and me, the difference between the sheep and the goats. Because in the passage, Jesus says there's one big difference between those who are sheep and those who are goats. Look at what he says about the sheep, starting in verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, my sisters, you did it to me. And in verses 41 through 45, he says the opposite thing is true about the goats. That they are goats and that they go into the eternal punishment rather than into the eternal life because, unlike the sheep, they did not feed and visit and clothe and care for the least of these brothers and sisters. Probably meaning fellow Christians in need, but certainly going and applying beyond that to anyone in need. And so what is the difference? What's the criteria Jesus uses to decide who's a sheep and who's a goat? How does he make his decision according to what he says here? It's how you love. According to what he says right here in this passage, it's how you love, serve, and care for the people in need around you. And notice, Jesus isn't saying you have to start a ministry. He's not saying you have to have a massive impact and change people's lives in a dramatic way. The actions he lists are very basic: feeding, sheltering, clothing, visiting, simple things. And Jesus says, you also don't have to do it on a large scale. He says, as you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. So these are ordinary acts of love and kindness to brothers and sisters around you, simple everyday actions that come as you see people, as you notice them and their needs, and as you take the time to stop and help them. This, Jesus tells us in the stories, what makes you a sheep. That's the thing that's shared among the righteous ones, the ones he says are blessed and are invited into this kingdom prepared for them before the foundation of the world. It's how you love. And that makes sense. I mean, Jesus comes out and says that in John 13:35. He says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And we could go to all kinds of other places in the Bible to see that this message resounds throughout the whole thing. Francis Schaeffer, the late writer, wrote in his book, The Mark of a Christian, what is the mark that Jesus gives to mark a Christian? The mark is love. So do you want to know if you're a sheep or a goat? What's the difference? The question is, do you love? Do you see? Do you notice? Do you care about people around you? Do you inconvenience yourself and take the time and energy and use your resources to feed and shelter and clothe and visit? This passage calls us to take the way we live very seriously, and specifically, it calls us to take the way we love very seriously. Because judgment is coming. And this is what Jesus is going to judge us for, and so we need to get to work. But wait a minute, because while the message that the people of God must love and pour out their lives in acts of love resounds through the whole Bible, so does another message. The message that no amount of our love can ever be good enough for God. The message that our love and our acts of love can never be strong enough to earn his favor, that they can never be good enough to get us into heaven. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, says about our righteous deeds, the best things we do, that they are like filthy rags before God. So what are we talking about? What is Jesus talking about? Well, the third thing Matthew wants to last for you and me from this last teaching of Jesus is the key to understanding the difference. The key to understanding the difference between the sheep and the goats, because there's something here that's really easy to miss if you're not looking for it. Listen again, starting in verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? I wonder if you noticed it. In verses 37 through 39, the sheep don't remember the things Jesus commends them for. When Jesus highlights for them all the ways they've served their brothers and sisters, giving them food and drink, giving them a place to stay and clothing, visiting them while they've been sick and in prison, they don't remember. They're like, Jesus, when? What are you talking about? They don't remember. They don't come to Jesus with their resume of service and say, hey, Jesus, here's the 50 hours I put in for you last year at the homeless shelter. Make sure you log that for me. Jesus, here's the 9 times I brought a meal to someone who was struggling. Oh yeah, Jesus, don't forget about the 35 text messages I sent to follow up with someone with a Bible verse who needed it. Jesus, don't forget all these things I've done. Let me tell you about all these things I've done for you. It's nothing like that with the sheep. They don't remember. They don't know what he's talking about. They're completely surprised. Jesus, I had no idea you would care so much about me asking that guy in my community group who was new to town and who shared in our group that he was lonely and having such a hard time making friends. I had no idea it would mean so much to you that I asked him to go out to lunch. Jesus, I forgot about the car I donated to the church years ago when I didn't need it anymore. It honestly seemed easier than selling it for a little bit of money, and I was glad that single mom who needed it could use it. Yeah, Jesus, we took that person in when they didn't have a place to stay and they were trying to land on their feet, but it just made sense. We actually enjoyed having them in our home. It didn't even feel like a sacrifice. I guess, Lord, yeah, we did go to the hospital to see our friends most days when they were there with their son, but I didn't think of it like we were doing anything great, because I know they would do the same thing for me if I was there. Everything the sheep are doing, they're doing it without thinking about it. They do it without keeping score, without keeping track. These acts of love and mercy and kindness flow from them like they're second nature. And this little key here drives us into the heart of what this story is all about. And it tells us the real difference between the sheep and the goats. You see, the key difference here between the sheep and the goats is not primarily that they love. It's that they've been transformed by love. It turns out this passage isn't about you and me and what we need to do to get right with Jesus. It's about what it looks like to be transformed by Jesus. It's what it looks like to receive his mercy and grace and love. Because yes, the message resounds through the Bible that we should love and pour our lives out in love. And yes, the message also resounds through the Bible that we can't love well enough for God, that we don't pour our lives out in love like we should. But the message that reverberates over all the other messages in the Bible is the message of God's love for you and me. His love poured out for you and me in the grace and love and kindness of our King Jesus. King Jesus, who left his glorious throne in heaven and came to us in our poverty, in our hunger and thirst, in our nakedness and separation and imprisonment. King Jesus, who gave his body to be broken so he could feed us. King Jesus, who shed his blood to quench our thirst, King Jesus, who was stripped naked so we could be clothed in his righteousness. King Jesus, who took our diseases so we could be healed. King Jesus, who was cast out a stranger so we could become his family. King Jesus, who was bound and enslaved so you and me can be set free. King Jesus, who was cursed and went into the eternal punishment so that you and me can be blessed and come into his kingdom of eternal life. With this story coming at the very end of his teaching, Matthew wants you and I to see what it looks like to be transformed by Jesus. And it looks like being a person who unselfconsciously pours out your life in ordinary, everyday acts of kindness toward the people around you like it's second nature. You don't do it for other people to see. You don't do it to earn something. You don't do it to prove you're good enough for God. You just do it. And why? When the words of a pastor named Bob Thune in a sermon he preached on this passage, it was really helpful for me to see all this and to unlock this story. He says, it's not that the sheep recognize Jesus in the least of these. Listen, it's that they recognize themselves in the least of these. See, when you're in touch with the gospel, when you're in touch with the grace the King has given you, when you see one of the least of these, you see yourself. And yeah, maybe part of what's going on in their life might resonate with a part of your story, but even if it doesn't in an outward way, you know that spiritually you've been there. You know that spiritually you were there. Spiritually you are there, but Jesus, he came and he reached out to you. He loved you, so how can you not do the same thing? Do you see? Matthew is showing you and me what it looks like to be transformed by the love and grace of the King. And so lastly then, the final point Matthew wants to stay with us is the opportunity. He wants us to see the opportunity there is here for us all. And what is the opportunity? Well, the opportunity is to take this passage seriously. Feel the weight of the final judgment. Stop ignoring it and pretending it will never happen, but see the reality of it, see the gravity of it, recognize that my life and the way I live it today matters so much. The opportunity is to listen to Jesus' challenge, to hear him say, this is how sheep live. This is how the righteous ones live. They don't ignore the least of these. They see the least of these and they care for them. They feed them, they clothe them, they take them in, they visit them. So I need to go and do likewise. But the opportunity over all that is to come to Jesus yourself. Come to Jesus and tell him how much you need him to care for you. Come to Jesus and confess to him how little you love the people around you like you should. Come to him and tell him you need his grace. And because of the kind of King he is, he'll give it to you. He'll forgive you. He'll care for you and he'll love you anyway. And as he does, something similar to what happens to the sheep will happen to you. His love will melt your heart and it will transform you, and his way of life and love will start to be reproduced in you as the Spirit works in your heart. And so you'll start to live this way. And because of the dynamic of the gospel, you won't always feel like you're doing a great job. The way the gospel works and gospel maturity works is that the more you grow, the more you'll actually read this story and think about the way you're caring for the least of these and realize how much more you could do. How little I'm actually loving people around me compared to what I could be. But this is what will happen in your life. Everyday, ordinary acts of love and kindness will flow from you like their second nature. It'll be like breathing. And you'll be so focused on your King and what he's done for you, you won't keep score. You won't keep track. You'll forget about much of what you've even done. But the great promise here of this passage is that there will be a day a day for every one of us who puts our faith in Christ, where he will remind us. A day where he will see us and remind us and tell us with great joy, here's what you did for me. Here's how you loved me. Here's how you served me. Here's how you cared for me. And like the sheep in the parable, we'll say to him, well, Jesus, when? And he'll say, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you implant this word upon our hearts today? Would you make it last with us, that our lives now and the way we live them matters so much? And specifically, the way we treat people around us in need matters so much. But more than that, would you help us to see and be transformed by the way you love us in our need? And Lord, as we see you, would you make us people? Would you make us a church where we do this kind of thing? Where simple everyday acts of love and kindness become like second nature to us, and we're not even really that aware that we're doing anything great. We're just following you. Help us to do that. We pray in your name. Amen.